Okay, Tavach, everybody. We're going to start. We're going to chazer over quickly, pay off on baseball pet. Beis Shammai says, you wash, we're talking about whether you're sitting there and you're going to dry your hands on the cloth there from my Rishon, we said. That was just pointed out. And now this cloth has some moisture on it. If you put this moisture down on the cushion that's next to you, the cushion is presumably could be tame, and therefore it would be matame the mashkin on the handkerchief, whatever you want to call it, the towel, and then there'll be chayzer matame the adayim. So Beis Shammai therefore says you put the shmata. I'll just call it shmata for to ease. It's easier for me. He's drying his hands on this. It's like a little hand. It's a hand towel. Okay. So he's taking the hand towel, he's putting it on the table, and the table Beis Shammai holds has got to be tahor. And the Gemara said that we're talking about a table of marble, or it's talking about a table which is made of pieces, whatever it is, which the table is for sure tahor, and therefore there's no problem of the mashkin becoming tummy for the table. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, holds there's no problem using a tongue. Beis Hillel, that's what we left off. My time at Beis Hillel. The Gemara says, "La'ilum suffik mashkin li'adayim tahor." Whenever there's a suffik, meaning I'm on payoff on base two lines in the bottom, just reviewing what we did. Okay. Okay. So Beis Hillel said that it was, since it's a suffik, the suffik seems to be in the hand towel, whether there's enough mashkin in there to become tamei to begin with. So since it's a suffix, it's a drabon to begin with, so therefore it's tahor. Davracher, ein l'dayim l'chulin, the bechalal, the whole takona over here of the tilsi dayim is because of srach truma. And since this is only a meal or where the chulin is being served, so therefore it's no yadayim for chulin anyway. There's no need to wash your hands if you're only having chulin anyway. There's a whole new approach to it. And the Gemara says, Beis Shammai, yesh yadayim l'chulin. So Beis Shammai is going to hold there is yadayim. He's going to hold. There is a problem of everybody holds that a sheni can't make a shlishi by chulin, right? The rule is, in other words, even if the mashkin would become tameh, and they would make your hands tameh, your hands would be a sheni, and then your sheni can't make chulin into a shlishi. Only din of shlishi is going to be by truma. So what's going on? What's Beis Shammai worried about? That's the last line of the Gemara. So now we're on Pei Beis on Aleph. Now, this is a machlokas. There's two shitas. One is that this assumption that I made that there's no din of chulin, of taras yadayim, tumas yadayim, for chulin, is actually machlokas tanoim. And Reb Shimon ben Elazar the Tani, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, I'm Reb Shimon Meir, Hayadayim tchila lechulin, shnius lechuma. That when the chazal were masakin, the tilsi yadayim, they actually put in place takana for chulin as well, that they should be tchila, meaning that your hands will be like a rishon, so to speak, and then your hands will make a sheni. There is a din sheni by chulin, and they'll have a din like shnius for truma. In other words, it seems a little strange, but it's actually a little more chomer for chulin than it is for truma, because they wanted to make a harchaka. So this is the way they made the harchaka. That's his sheet. So that'll be what Beis Shammai holds like. Or alternatively, the Gemara says he holds like well as a Rapsodic, and that we're talking about a specific case over here. This is what we call we're talking about a specific hechatimsa in this case, and that is we're talking about chulin which are nasu al taras hakodesh. So well as a Rapsodic says, see Tamon chulin shenasu al gabi hakodesh. If you're treating chulin like kodesh, harei. Harei elu kechulin, they're like chulin. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, harei elu kechuma, they're like truma. So once you, so if you hold like Rabbi Elazar, so even if it's chulin, then it has the same din as truma. Lagavi, what? Latam mishnayim, that if you have that they become shniyim, or they'll become pasul if shniyim sheni touches these chulin. It's just a simple way of what it's not. It's just a simple way in which you're treating it. In other words, I'm not going to give you a specific type of food, any food, but if does he talk about it at all over here? What do you six, mean? Look at number six. It's a practice of certain pious individuals who frequently ate kodesh. So therefore, in order to keep themselves in practice, that whenever they ate any kind of food, that they would eat it on taras hakodesh, so as not to become makel. You are treating it artificially like kodesh. It's your own chumrah. Right. So that's the idea. To familiarize themselves and their family members with these standards. Okay, he's quoting Rashi Chagiga Yotes. Okay, fine. Tamon Taninon. Now, over there, the Mishnah there, it says over here, it's in Adias. So it says, Asok Shaman Tohar Nitmo. So let me read it right. Hasok Shaman Tohar. A person goes ahead and anoints his body with oil. He's Tohar. The oil is tahar, that's the case. So now you're all ice geschmiert, so to speak. Okay. Then nitma, then you become tamei, and then you have to go to the mikvah. So if you are litbol, and then you go, if you are a tamei, he goes down into the mikvah and he stifles himself. So v'shamayorim, afal pi'i minatef, even if the oil is mamash dripping off, if you come out of the mikvah and instead of water dripping off of you, You're dripping oil. That's not a question. It's not a question of chatzitza. So that's probably no problem at all. And you are tar. There's no question about it. But the question is, what about all the oil? Is the oil all tar or not? So based Shammai holds, all the water is tar. The same way you became tar ayidei the tefillah, all the oil that was on you also became tar ayidei the tefillah. You'll understand the chiddush of this in just a minute. So Beis Hillel doesn't agree. Beis Hillel says no. Kidei sichas aver cotton. Now the way he translates that is, even if the amount, in other words, this is like mimala lamata. We're going to the very bottom, from the top to bottom, the maximum to the minimum shear. Even if the amount of oil that is on your body only adds up to the amount that it would take to shmear a small aver, pinky, whatever it is, that is not considered subordinate to the person, and therefore that shaman remains tameh. That's Beis Hillel's treatment. If it was less than that amount, then the shaman would become tar because that would be such a small, insignificant amount. It would be considered tofel to the person who did the tefillah, But if it's that amount or more, obviously greater, then so that's what Beis Shammai was saying. Right, a person's tara has nothing to do with it. He went to the mikvah. The ish, it's not a chatzit. It's not a chatzit.
Why?
Oil is not a chatzit. It's liquid. A liquid is never a chatzit. Not a chatzit. Yes, something. The dinei chatzitza, you'll see, it doesn't say anything about. But that's a mikvah's shiloh. Okay, it's clear from here. It's not a chatzit. Okay. Okay, so that's what Beis Shammai was saying. That Beis Shammai was going to the extreme, right? Even though the oil is mamash dripping off his body, he says so much oil, nonetheless, Beis Shammai holds its tar. Okay, so that's the extreme. If it's not a chatzitza, it's not a chatzitza. I mean, you're asking a question. I'm not holding the chatzitza right now, but I mean, We can look into that. We can look into that. Now the next statement. Now this case we start. Yeah.
What if the oil? If the oil remained tamei,
the oil remains tamei. According to Beis Hillel, the oil remains tamei if it's above that shear. Correct. Now this case was the way we introduced the case. We said hasach shemen tahar. He was tar and the oil was tar when he put the oil on him. Now let's go to the next case, which is the oil was tame when you put the oil on you. Okay, so you started off with oil which was tame. So if the oil was tame from the start, then Beis Shammai will agree with Beis Hillel in the previous case. Then Beis Shammai says, could they see if I say we're cotton, even if the amount was enough to anoint a small limb, it will be main tame despite the tefillah. Even if the liquid is small enough that it's enough to make something wet, right? That's just a small drop. It's going to remain tamei. So what's the pshat in this halacha? I want to just tell you the lumdus, the way I understand this halacha. The pshat's like this. When the person becomes tamei together with the oil, think of it this way. When we think of the oil as your friend, that we both became tamei together. So when I go to the mikvah with my friend, the oil that became tamei with me, since I became tamei together with the oil, so my tefillah, which is my tuma tatara, will work for the oil as well. Because after all, we were both tar to start off with. Then we became tamei together. We go to the mikvah together. We become tar together. That's beishamah. But when the oil was tamei b'fnei atzmo, right? It was tamei before I put it on my body. So then when I became tamei, it had nothing to do with the oil. So the oil's tuma, so to speak, exists on its own. So my tara is not connected any longer with the oil. So then we're just dealing with a question of shiur. Okay, that's the way I understand. A little bit of a lumdus. I made it up. I don't know if it has any emphasis to it, but I like the way it sounds. Okay. Next. Rabbi Huda Omer. Now we're just going to modify a little bit of what Beis Hillel's shear is. It's a slight modification. There's what's called Tofeach. And Tofeach HaManas LaHatfiach. You know the difference? Tofeach is, it's enough to make something wet. Tofeach HaManas LaHatfiach means it's enough to make something else wet, which could in turn make something else wet. Right, so that's just a slight difference. It's hard even to be Mashiach such a difference. Okay, but that's the difference. So you know Mishmei. Okay, Micha Fashitaso. Now there's an inconsistency with regard to their position. Why? Pei Beis on the base. Beis Hillel Taman Amrim Tamei, guarding the oil. We say if there's enough to moisten something that touches it, it's Tamei. Baha Amrin Tahar, meaning. Now we're coming back to our sugya. Now we're coming back to the cloth, right? The towel. So the towel which you use to dry your hands with the Mayim Rishayim. So Beis Hillel seem to say, it's not 100% that it has enough on there to become tummy. So therefore, it's a suffix. And therefore, you can put it on the cushion. That's for sure the cushion's tummy. But there might be enough water on the hand tile. There might not be. It's a suffix we can be making. Now, what do you mean? Over here, you're saying that even a drop of oil is tamei, and for sure, presumably, it's a suffix pashut. If you dry your hands on a cloth, the Gemara seems to be asking this. I think this is the question. Therefore, for sure, it's going to be enough moisture to be makabel tuma. Why is this even a suffix? That seems to be the question. Tamon Amrin Tomei, Bahocha Amrin Tahar. They say it's tar, even though it undoubtedly surpasses this minimum measure. That's the way he translates it here. Let's just take a look here and make sure I said it right. Yeah, that's what it says. Tamon, so there's more answers. Tamon Be'enohu. There's the oil is Be'en. We see the oil. So you can see there's oil, there's liquid here. Of course, it's for sure going to be done. It's absorbed in a cloth. So as it's a practical matter that it's not so clear that something that's absorbed in a cloth is going to be able to make something else, tofeach or tofeach or aslatfeach, whatever you should be holding. That's the answer to the question. Okay, so it's a tangent, but nonetheless, a very important one. Now we're going to halacha 4. Beishamei yomim, mechav din es habayis. We're at the end of the meal. So the question is, you have to do two things. You have to do my machronim, you have to clear the table from the crumbs. So which do you do first? You do my machronim, do you clear the crumbs? Dr. Mishnah, or machlaikas. Beis Shammai holds first, you clear the table, sweep the room, so to speak. Chavdana Samaya, sweep the room. Then you wash your hands, my machronim. Beis Shammai says, no, you can first wash your hands, and then Chavdana Samaya, then you sweep the room. So what's the shayla over here? That's right. The Gemara has been asked the kasha. My to mind the Beis Shammai. Why is Beis Shammai being makbid to clear the crumbs first? We're afraid of the destruction of food. It's like, I guess, like a Baal Tashkas problem, right? Is that the idea? Baal Tashkas, I think. Oh, so what's the connection to the Baal to the washing of the hands? Because the Baal Tashkas is going to take place when I wash my hands. There's going to be dripping water onto the crumbs. So when the water drips onto the crumbs becomes inedible. And that's the Baal Tashkas he's talking about. Well, yeah, I don't know. You know, I really, let's see. Okay, guys, you heard the question. He's asking a question about how, what's going on with these crumbs. Where are they? On the floor already? Are they all full of dirt? So what's going on over here? I thought it was at the table, actually. I didn't know it was the floor.
Also, there my corner was a full,
Eight laying down. I guess it's not just crumbs. It's actually big pieces then, right? That's what it says. It says that the water might splatter on the food remnants and render them repulsive. He's quoting Rashi. Okay, I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So we're gonna have to, let's just accept it for now that that's the shot. Okay. So that's Beis Shammai. Now, why Tamai the Beis Hillel? What about, what does he hold? So the Gemara says like this: In Hashamash Pikeach, if he's intelligent, I raise a moderate Peter and Kazayas. Then he takes away pieces of that are more than Kazayas. Meikol Kazayas, he'll leave the smaller pieces, because once you have lesser pieces that are smaller than a Kazayas, there's no problem of Baal Tashkas, right? So therefore, there's no issue. Not worried about Baal Tashkas if you're going to do the water over that. In other words, there's a presumption here. Now, the Bavli says a little bit another step beyond this, that the shamash that you're using, is he an Am HaAretz or is he a, quote, Talmid Chacham? When I say Talmid Chacham, I mean, does he aware of these halachas, basic halachas of Baal Tashkas? So Bavli says that if Beis Hillel holds, you're not supposed to use an Am HaAretz as a waiter, because you run into all these problems. Do someone that knows the rules. Since he knows the rules, he will have known to take off the big pieces, and therefore there won't be any problem about Tashkas. That's the machlokas. All right. Anything else here? Yeah, let's see here. Now, one other point here I think it's important here. And 11, I want to do 11 inside. Okay, footnote 11 on 82b1. This is really, I think it's like so critical to understand what's going on over here. It's been established the problem of the food becoming ruined is not an issue. Washing my machronim takes precedence over clearing away the leftover food. In other words, you have to ask yourself a question. So why is Beis Hillel makbid that you do the Tilas Yadayim first? So there's no more problem about Tashkas. So why do my machronim first? What do you care what order you do it in? So he says, the cleanliness of a person's body is more important than the cleanliness of his house. That's a very interesting svara, right? I don't know. Did you ever hear this svara before? I never heard this svara. That's the svara behind Beis Hillel. Because like this, a person has to take the thing which is more chashuv first. Very interesting. Anyway, then the next thing he says, why is there any need at all to sweep the floor according to Beis Hillel? Once the larger pieces of food have already been cleared, prior to my machronim, so what do you have to sweep? Forget about it. Just, step on them. So Tosfos says that even if it's smaller than a kazayas, stepping on pirurim is kasher le'anius, that it brings about poverty. Okay? That's what it says over here. It brings about poverty. He says mamish poverty. He brings over here, I just wanted to share with you something very interesting I saw in the State Sofim, which I haven't quoted much this year. I didn't really hardly use it, so I want to try to get my money's worth before we leave Brachas. this is one thing. I just thought you'd enjoy this because he quotes from the Sefer Chashuk Yechemed, which is from Rav Zilberstein, who in turn quotes, there's a contrast that had going the Kozhevlov. You ever hear the Kozhevlov Rebbe? And the Kozhevlov Rebbe had a Sefer called Chizuk, or a chapter in a Sefer called Chizuk Limnoya Anios B'Yisrael. This is how to prevent poverty. So I think it's going to just spend just 1 minute on this inyan, So he has nine suggestions how to prevent poverty. So it's based on a yesod that wherever the Gemara says in the Dorim of Zion on the base, Kol Mokom that has Karas Hashem's Levatola is Mitsuya. The Gemara says, Sham Anios Mitsuya. Anios Kamisa, it says that's the famous Gemara with Dasan Abiram. He may call Anashim Bishosav Shechel, referring that they went down there, the Nechasim. Yeah. So the Ran says over there, so since the Haskar of the Shem Shemayim properly is a bracha, so doing it Levatala is just the opposite. It's going to come up, it'll be called Anios Rachman Litzlan. So these are his nine suggestions. Number one, to be Zora that Tefillin should be square properly, and the ritzuas should be black and properly, and that the parashas should be written idea sefer yirei shemayim, because that way, when you make your brachas on tefillin every day, it won't be a chash brachal matol. So that's number one. Number two, in the bracha tefillin shorosh, some people say a bracha al mitzvahs tefillin, and they say brach shenkel malchusa lolom vayd right away. That's wrong. You have to make sure before you say baruch shem, that the tefillin are in the right place and put on snugly, and then say Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Olam Vayd. Because if you're going to say Baruch Shem before you've actually adjusted the tefillin shorosh in the right place, it's a bracha matola because you made the bracha and then you were masik with Baruch Shem before you were kind of the mitzvah. So you have to do it al mitzvahs tefillin, put the tefillin in place, then say Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Olam Vayd. That's another one. Number three. Since it should be done properly. Number four, make brachas on mazon with kavana. Tzitzis should be done properly. In other words, that the tzitzis should be, what do you say when you produce? Let's say it should be l'shma. Okay, l'shemus the tzitzis. Next, that you should say brachas on mazon properly. He brings a story here from Shlomo Zalman. That when he was sick, that they heard him say twice when he was benching, and then he repeated it again. They said, after he finished benching, he said, what's that? So he repeated it twice. He just says the words, Nodalacha. So he said, Nodalacha, Chayev Lios, B'chol HaKavon, Acheras Ein Zud Toda. If you're not going to say no to the chal with proper kavana, it's not really thanking Hashem. Okay, interesting. Number five, the Chidah says you shouldn't say run the words together. You should say clearly each word. Baruch atah Hashem. There should be a hefsek between each word, but they don't run together. Others, every book. The sixth one, he says you should say this shame aleph dalad nun yud properly. Some people. Don't say the dalad do, they'll say d. So you have to be careful with that. It's a mistake that some people make. Okay, yeah, it should be with a cholum. You should not. And the seventh is not to pray against, not against, in front of people who are not dressed properly, like gilui seyer and gilui basar by a woman. Number eight, if you said Hashem's name, right? You said Hashem. So what you should say is. So you've said a pasuk to avoid saying the Hashem Hashem, or Hashem was the Amal Yitain Hashem Yivarach Hashem Yishol. Okay. And the last one is when you get an aliyah, you should say the bracha on Berachas HaTorah. You should say it out loud so that the oilim could hear. Because if you don't have 10 people hearing, there's some place that say it's a bracha l'tol. Anyway, I thought that was kedai. These are nine segulas. To avoid Aeneas that the Kosher Blubber put in his sefer, and it came up in this Gemara. Okay. Next. Beisham Ayomrim, we had this Mishnah before, we mentioned it where the whole the Gemara all the way to the end of the page is we've had already this whole thing before. We're going to read it fairly quickly. The order is we're talking about Moitzei Shabbos and you ate a meal and you have only one cup of wine and you need to make Berachas HaMazon al HaKos. You need to make and Havdalah al HaKos. What's the order? So Rabbi Shammai says, first you say Borei Meir HaEish. Again, we said the reason because that's the first thing you encounter. So you see the fire. And then you say Berachas HaMazon. Then you say Besamim. Then you say Havdalah. Beis Hillel says, Ner Besamim. Mazon Havdalah, that you're going to say both the Ner and the Besamim first, and then the Mazon Havdalah. Beis Shammai Yomim Shabara Ma'ar HaEish. That you say in the past. What? Where does it say fifth meal?
No, it's a fifth meal related dispute.
Oh, it's the fifth machlokas.
Yeah.
It's the fifth machlokas. Yeah. No problem. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rabbi Oberstein.
I thought that too.
Uh-huh. Okay. So Ishamai says, Shabar Mar Ha'esh, he says it in the past. Mm-hmm. That because referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the past the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's not a new creation according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Borei Ma'ar HaEish. So there's two machlokas. First, Beis Shammai says Ma'ar, mm-hmm. only a single. Ma'ore is the way Beis Hillel says it's a multiple, there are multiple colors to the flame. And so Beis Hillel holds it's Ma'ore. And the other machlokas is Beis Hillel holds you say Borei. I looked this up, by the way, halakhically. Mishabura says if a person says Baram Orei Ha'esh, but you have a Yotze, but if you said Borei Ma'ar Ha'esh, you're not Yotze. So that's an interesting distinction. That for some of this is not Makif, some of it is Makif. I don't know how they know it, but that's what I saw today. No. It's nothing to do with the wicks. No. It's because of the multiple colors of the flame. There's yellow, blue, you know, different colors in the flame. Tani, I'm Rabbi Huda. Le'nefuk by Shami Beisolal Hamasah Shuvat Filal Adol Shibasof. Rabbi Huda is responding to the Tanavar Mishnah, who presumably will give him a name. Our Tanavar Mishnah will be Rabeir, and Rabbi Huda is saying there is no machlokas about the order of whether you say Berachas HaMazon first or Havdalah last. That they all agree with, which is exactly what Rabeir said as well. That there's no machlokas. What is the machlokas? The issue is just one issue. That is, everyone's going to do the benching first, and then they're going to say the Havdalah. But in between the benching and the Havdalah, that's where you're going to insert Mar and Besamim. And the issue is, what is the order? Besamim first, then Mar, and Besel says Mar or Besamim. Okay, as far as the bracha bar piyan gofen, that would be right after the benching, before these, obviously, like you all always do. That way you have a bar piyan gofen that's going both on the Berachas HaMazon and also on the Havdalah. Rabbah, Rabbi Huda, Rishem Rav, Halach, Rabbi Rishom, Rabbi Sam, Rabbi Kach, Bar. So we mentioned this already, that we pass in that way, okay? That's how we pass. Next, Bar. Hey, Gimel. Hey, Gimel, right on time. I'm right smack on time. It's 8:00. Yeah, let me start the recording again.